Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. How is it that in this age, very few people know about God, and what many of them know about God is not true? Now, we saw in the last one how Satan works, and he comes in very subtly with something that seems to be very innocuous. And we will see that we as a nation and a modern age and the whole world have done the opposite of what God has said. So remember this, whenever God is left out, Satan moves in. Do you know how he moves in? We'll see why he moves in. Let's come to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, and let's see what God said. Now, we saw last time about how there are to be no witches, etc. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, so that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. Now think about coming to America. What did we start America with? The Bible. And teaching the laws of God as the laws of the land. Now look what has happened because God is not in all of our thoughts or in the things that we do today. Verse 2. That you might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I, that is Moses, commanded you and your son and your son's sons all the days of your life, so that your days may be prolonged. Listen, the commandments of God have been given for our good. But notice, everything has to hinge with God on this next verse. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be diligent to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may greatly multiply as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. And doesn't that describe what this nation was when we separated from the British and began to expand westward? So he says, hear, O Israel, our one God is the Lord, the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Now, how many people really do that today? Think about it. Verse 6. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Now, why should they be in our heart? So we will know truth from error, right from wrong, the true God versus the false god of this world, Satan the devil. And you shall diligently teach them to your children, and shall talk of them when you're in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you sit down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be in the frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. Now that is total dedication to God. How did we arrive where we are? Now think about when there was the Scopes trial to get rid of teaching creation, the trial that got rid of prayer in the school, the trial that got rid of the Bible in school, and the trial that allowed the Quran to be brought in here recently.
I'm coming from this perspective of religious equality, and if we don't see the Ten Commandments, the Day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit as the representation of, or an accurate representation of Christianity, then why are we seeing in detail teaching on the doctrine of Islam? And it just concerns me that, you know, we're going into great detail on the, you know, the Muslim religion when Christianity has been pushed to the side.
Is that not the opposite of what we just read? And remember, when we don't do what God says, Satan moves in. Now, how did all of this in entertainment and media start? It began with Walt Disney.
Wonderful World of Disney.
Now, you wouldn't think that something designed for children would be invaded by Satan the devil. But let's look at one of the classics of Walt Disney. And you will find Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and that came out in 1937. And it was the world's first fully animated film and a masterpiece of historical importance. Disney, being the company that birthed the Magic Kingdom, is respectable for perhaps a majority of the way that the public envisions magic. Occultism was injected then through these children's movies into the mainstream under the hand of Walt Disney. So here we have Snow White, then we have the mirror with the Wicked Queen. And the Wicked Queen said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of all?" And it came out not the Queen, but Snow White. So Snow White had to run and get away lest she would be killed. Then she comes into the forest and the animals talk to her. And then she meets the seven dwarves and is saved by them and in their house. And then eventually the Wicked Queen, the witch, found out where she was and worked the potion with the apple and she fell into a sleeping trance. And then there's the hero. He comes and kisses her, and she wakes up. And everything is wonderful. What a wonderful ending. And people would never understand how much of witchcraft was in them. Talking with the animals and things like that, that's part of it. Long-held belief among witches, that's what it is. Shamans and those who straddled the different realms. One must understand the true nature of what witchcraft is and how very serious it is. It is not harmless. If parents fully understood this issue, they would never let their children be exposed to all the Hollywood shows and movies promoting it. The use of magic, witchcraft, and sorcery is literally the practice of contacting and communicating with demonic spiritual entities. Many Disney movies feature textbook Satanism, and yet somehow Hollywood has hoodwinked people into consuming it as entertainment. notice, that there is no reference, projection, or hint of God being present in any Walt Disney film. Rather, Satan, darkness, occultism, demons, magical power, mysticism, and all types of sorcery are prevalent in these films. And then, it has gotten progressively more evil. Here's a headline here from another article. Disney Corporation, making evil look good. So let's think about this for a minute. This is quite a thing. Here is a movie that came out about 5 years ago, Maleficent, which shows evil as good.
Behind the kiss. Behind the magic.
Sweet Aurora, I wish for you the gift of beauty.
Behind the legend of Sleeping Beauty.
I too shall bestow a gift on the child.
Lies the story of Maleficent.
Curious little beastie. Bring her to me.
I know you're there. Don't be afraid.
I am not afraid.
Then come out.
Then you'll be afraid.
This summer.
Aurora, there is an evil in this world, and I cannot keep you from it.
Disney's greatest villain comes to life.
How wonderful.
Maleficent.
She is called the Diva of Darkness, but just misunderstood. And this is where it gets confusing. Despite being based on Sleeping Beauty's evil villain in Disney's new movie, Maleficent, this character is made out to be good. That the end result is, Maleficent rules over the spirit world of darkness, with the king of demon-like creatures forcing the innocent spirits into submission. That's the tale of Satan the devil. Continuing, Knott says, but then something happens. The plot causes us to start sympathizing and identifying with Maleficent. She is not so bad after all. She becomes Aurora's fairy godmother, and in the end is the hero. A savior of the two kingdoms who defeats the evil king, who we are made to feel negative towards as he is full of obsessive hatred. The film ends with Maleficent flying toward the sun, while the background music changes from inspiring to slightly creepy, giving us an indication that not all may be what it seems.
And her name was Maleficent.
So here we have popularizing evil. Here in an article, it says, Disney's link to the occult. That's why you need the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which you need that because this is the thing that helps people get into all of these things of Satan the devil because they are all practicing a form of it. And all of those forms are based on lies. Now, continuing with Disney. Disney links to the occult. Maleficent is not the only Disney film to contain occult symbolism. For example, in Disney's Fantasia, the sorcerer whom Mickey is apprenticed was named Yen Sid, Disney spelled backwards. by the animators and was modeled after Walt Disney himself. In the film, the sorcerer conjures up a demonic-looking being. Now remember, all the children are watching this, and it's accompanied with music. I remember seeing it, and I can even in my own mind still remember how the music goes. Because you see, Satan is fantastic in being able to work emotions and change people's minds and make evil look good and good look evil. In the film, the sorcerer conjures up a demon-looking being from a vial and then gives it the illusion of a butterfly. There is also a scene called Night on Bald Mountain, which has every dark undertones and shows depictions of demons and ghosts. Quite an amazing thing, see? Fantasia not only depicts the summing up of evil spirits and ghosts, it features fiery dancing ladies who morph into dancing animals. So the question is, how are we indoctrinating our youth? We don't teach them anything about God, which they need to know. We don't teach them anything about the Bible, which is essential for their upbringing. And especially for teens, the whole book of Proverbs is really important for them because this helps them to be able to understand how they need to think. See, when children are born, they know nothing. And the world that they are born into is already made. And then they are taught to get along in this world. And if they're never taught about God, they know nothing. And if they're never taught about the things that are important in the Bible, and they are taught about fun and games and entertainment and occultism and witchcraft and all of this sort of thing, then they get into the way that it is today. And look at it. Here's one. The growing interest in astrology driven by millennials, as well as the popularity of crystals and tarot cards, have brought mysticism from the fringes into everyday life. Then it talks about how witchcraft has really come on big. Now, here's quite an article. Ask not what you can do for your country, but what witchcraft can do for you. Now, this is something, because Satan likes to give immediate rewards. Have you ever seen the ad about advertising Monopoly? But here's this woman, and then it shows the dog. And she is rewarded.
Monopoly scratchers.
With that, all of that is based upon demonism and fantasy. So here we have this. Last July, Lena Del Rey confirmed the rumors that she had placed a hex on President Trump. Why? Because why not?
A mass spell took place at Trump Tower this week, which was intended to restrain Trump's power, but not necessarily cause harm. The group outside Trump Tower was a varied one. Some called themselves witches. Some practiced spells and tarot, but didn't identify as witches. And a few had never cast a spell before. Even singer Lana Del Rey participated. So, you know, there's that. The main goal of the witchery is to actually do something to stop Trump, bind him, stop him, and all the horrible things he's doing in his administration, they say.
So Trump is not only fighting people, he is fighting evil. Of course, it didn't help that in addition to the endless political marathons, Lena Del Rey was capitalizing on a surge of witchcraft, because so many witch-related movies have come up that the actual witches had so many requests on how from women on how to become a witch. Quite amazing. And a witchcraft revival in popular culture. Over the last 2 years, the entertainment world has been graced with movies like Love the Witch, The Witch, Hereditary, The Craft. Now, this movie is the one that really led the avalanche of women wanting to become witches. Quite a thing. They actually had a practicing witch consulting and directing the various scenes in the movie The Craft. And they were real hexes and witchcraft curses and witchcraft blessing, because there's good witches and bad witches, supposedly. And so this saw a tremendous surge. The Craft seems like a compelling story of how easy it is to conquer the world when you embrace friendship, and that friendship is the friendship of the devil. Their popularity increased over the next few years, especially among young women. So we have The Practical Magic and The Charmed, both in 1998. Each used elements of witchcraft and the occult to demonstrate what can happen when women tap into their own abilities, as well as how they, women, can achieve even more when working together. Then it shows a picture of it. Quite a thing. Then we have on top of it, by J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter. Now this is a real profound thing, because this starts out with a young lad. Then it shows how he grows through various repeating of the series of movies. How he grows, and now he's a young man.
And it's interesting to me that so many people across the world don't read Rowling or dislike Rowling because of the magical idea. But she actually creates a very religious argument in there through Harry. I mean, his life, the story we hear of it, starts at age 11, very similar to the ministry of Christ. He has a mother whose name is Lily Purity, who sacrifices herself for him. He is considered the chosen one. And then he has a Garden of Gethsemane moment where he doesn't want to do what he's being asked to do, but then decides that he will do it. He sacrifices himself to Voldemort. When he does, he is resurrected. But again, that's a choice. He chooses to come back. He doesn't have to. And so that idea of self-sacrifice because of love being the salvation of human beings, an essentially Christian message. And that doesn't make the books solely Christian, but it should make them appealing to Christians at any rate, because she's using this idea that is biblical. It's beyond biblical as well, but it's heavily biblical.
So let's see what the next one on Harry Potter will bring out. And it is bringing more and more people into witchcraft and the occult and becoming a commonplace thing in America. Now, the promise of witchcraft offers instant gratification. It's the glamorous answer to taking power into one's hands and working alongside like minds to heed bankable results outside of protest or voting. After all, what's the harm in hexing, they say? Why not? From a coven. Why shouldn't we entertain signing the Book of the Beast in order to bask in immortality? And it goes on and on. This report is many pages long. All right, here's some more of it. Witchcraft. In popular entertainment, the craft Buffy and Beyond. And then it talks about what it's doing. In the craft, revolutionized the media approach to teenagers, reshaped the media imagery of good and evil, and redefined the public's idea of modern witchcraft, all in a single stroke. The craft represents a picture of modern neo-paganism witchcraft that actually resembles the real thing instead of being based on the standard medieval stereotypes. There we have it. Now, let's see how God views some of these things in actual use. Let's see one of the kings of Judah. Let's come to 2 Chronicles 33, and let's see who was the most wicked king of all and what he was doing. And you might stop and think, what is happening in America that may bring God's same correction to us because we are doing the same things? Let's see what he did. 2 Chronicles 33. Now, he started out when he was 12 years old, and he reigned for 55 years in Jerusalem. Now, verse 2. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. He built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam. Balaam is the sun god. And if you go to church on Sunday, guess who you're worshiping? Another Jesus and another God. And made groves and worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. That is demon worship. And he built altars in the house of the Lord. See, what Satan always tries to do is come into the church and take it over with evil. And that's what he did here, right at the temple of God in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. He observed times. He used enchantments. He used witchcraft. He dealt with familiar spirits and with wizards and did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And so he was sent off into exile. The Assyrians came and took him, put him in prison in Babylon. Now, lo and behold, he repented. And God brought him back as a vassal king, and he cleaned up the mess that he created. So it shows that people can come out of these things. But look at it today. Modern witchcraft, modern superstition, all of the movies, all of the entertainment for children, for adults. Look at the movies that are coming out. They're all about death and destruction and fighting and warring and killing. And yes, it's going to come to that because of the sins of the whole nation. Not just a few, but millions and millions and millions and millions. So if there's going to be any getting back to God, it's going to have to start with each one of us. And it's going to have to start with repentance. And then looking to the Word of God, looking to the truth of God, living by every word of God, as Jesus said we ought to do. So I hope that this gives you an insight as to what is happening in this world and how it's happening, how pervasive it is, and what this world is coming to. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.